Sermon on the Mount. First few chapters of Matthew. Wonderful, not only a wonderful sermon, but a wonderful collection of teachings that Jesus gave the disciples back then and us today. And I want to look at just one little verse that Brother Chuck read a moment ago that we read with him, verse 11, where the Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, when Jesus taught many of the truths, most of the truths that he presented, they had not only a spiritual application, but they had a practical application. He knew that and that we needed to be taught about the kingdom of God. And so he taught about that kingdom. He taught what it was like. He taught how we can get into it. He taught how we ought to act while we're a member of the kingdom of God. But he knew we had to live here. He knew that this world was not going to be our home, that we were just passing through. And he knew that we needed instructions for how to conduct our life while we lived in this world. And so this prayer, I mean, he was teaching his disciples in this particular part of the Sermon on the Mount how to pray. So as it's recorded in the book of Luke, we read where they ask him, said, "Master, John taught his disciples to pray. Would you teach us how to pray?" And the same prayer, a little bit different words, is recorded there in Luke. And as he taught them how to pray, he was also teaching them how to live. And so I want to look at this one verse and talk to you this morning about what we can learn from this little phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for letting us be here, for each one that's here. I pray now that you take our hearts and minds off of everything that Satan would use to try to distract us. And we'd listen to the Holy Spirit for the next few minutes. And Holy Spirit, you would speak to each heart. I pray you'd speak to all those that are lost. Help them to catch a glimpse of the bread of life. And as Brother Wendell sang about just a moment ago, how we're nothing and how we're hungry without him. But if we take him and eat him, and then we could fill that longing that's in our soul. So speak to those that don't know Christ. Speak to us as Christians. Help us to realize that we need that bread of life every day. And I pray, Father, that you would accomplish your will in this service. We give it over to you. Help us to uplift Christ. Of course, in his name we pray. Amen. One of the main truths that I think Jesus was teaching us in this particular verse, and he teaches us other places in the Bible, and if I preach the second part of my message tonight, I'll give you some of those other verses. But he's teaching us that we need to live today. It's okay, and it's good to make plans for the future. It's good to look forward to what may come tomorrow, but we live our tomorrows today. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to live life today. We need to please God today. If we're going to live for God, we won't do it tomorrow. We'll live for God today. If we're going to obey God, we can't do that tomorrow. We've got to obey Him today. If we're going to do the things that please God, we can't do those things tomorrow. We have to do those things that please Him today. If I'm going to commit myself to God, and again, if I get to the second part, that's one thing we'll talk about. If I'm going to commit myself to God, I've got to do it today. Many people live for God tomorrow. You've heard them just like I have. Well, I'm going to start going to church tomorrow. Or I'm going to start reading my Bible tomorrow. Or I'm going to start telling people about Jesus tomorrow. And all of those are good resolves. All of those are good things to commit to God to do, to come to church, to read your Bible, to witness. But I would point out to you that tomorrow is only a hope. David says in the Psalms that none of us are promised tomorrow. He says our life is just a vapor. It could pass away at any time. And tomorrow we may not be able to claim, but we can claim today. And if we're going to live for God, if we're going to do the things that please God, we need to do it today. So, and again, this morning I'm going to do something very unusual, only because of time. I'm going to preach a one-point message. I had five, but I know I'm not going to have time to get to the other four. Here's the title, the text. Yeah, you're laughing, Reg. One day I'm just going to let you have them all. But Here's the title, the text, the theme of my message, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I can remember when I was growing up, I think they still have them. They still have one-a-day vitamins. They used to have a little slogan that I can remember. One-a-day will do you. One-a-day will do you. It means you needed one a day, but one was all you needed. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the daily bread. Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to look to God for our daily physical needs. We need to look to God to give us what we need to eat, what we need to wear, the shelter that we need. Every physical need, we need to look to God to meet that physical need. God will do that for us today, just like He did it for His people as they were going through the wilderness. Let me read you a couple of verses from the book of Exodus. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw it. They said one to another, It is manna. For they knew that, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. You remember, they were going through the wilderness. They were wandering. They were not staying any place long enough to plant crops. And so if they were going to have bread, God had to give it to them. And for 40 years, as they wandered in the wilderness, from the time that they left Egypt until they crossed the Jordan River and came into the Promised Land, every morning when the dew left the ground, when the dew dried up from the ground, there was a small white thing on the ground that was manna. It was the bread from heaven. The Israelites called it angel's food. And Moses instructed the people when it first appeared, look, it's going to come every day. Go out and get enough for today. You can't get enough for tomorrow. You can't get enough for 2 days from now. I know if I was doing the grocery shopping in my house, I would not go as often as my daughter. She thinks it's an event, and she likes to go because she goes other places. I think I spend more for coffee than I do for food. But anyhow, I would want to go to the grocery store just one time a month. I mean, maybe, Clint, you know, for the milk and the bread, I'd want to go every week. But I wouldn't want to go to the store every day. And yet, that's what God said to His people. You need to go and pick this bread up every day. Because you see, if you go out and you try to get 2 days' worth, that part that you save will rot. The Bible says it began to stink, and the Bible says it began to breed worms. And so there was some that didn't obey Moses. They went out, and they tried to pick 2 or 3 days' worth of bread up, and they got to eat the first day of bread, but when they went to it the second morning, they couldn't eat it. It was rotten. The only day that you could go out and gather 2 days' worth was on Friday, because God said the Sabbath day, Saturday back then, the Sabbath day is a holy day. No work is to be done on the Sabbath day. And so on Friday, I'll give you 2 days' worth of manna, 2 days' worth of bread, and I will preserve it for you. So that on Saturday, now it wouldn't work on Thursday, it wouldn't work on Wednesday, wouldn't work any other day of the week, but on Friday you can go out and you can gather 2 days' worth. And every day God gave them bread. I mean, every day He gave them that manna. The Bible says it tasted like honeycomb. The Bible says they ground it up and made stuff out of it and they ate it. And it satisfied them for the day. God met every day that physical need that His people had for something to eat. Now, we don't have time this morning, but you go on in the book of Exodus and you read some more of the book of Exodus, and you'll find that God not only gave them what they needed to eat, He gave them what they needed to drink. He brought water out of the strangest places. He brought water out of the rock as Moses struck it. He led them to wells, and He gave them water to drink. The Bible says that He preserved their clothes. I mean, their clothes didn't wear out. The Bible says that He made their shoes to grow, if they were children, He made their shoes to grow to match their feet. I mean, their shoes didn't wear out. The Bible says that He gave them that cloud by day that not only led them, but provided them shade, and that fire by night that not only guided them in the night, but gave them warmth in the night. And every day, God gave His people exactly what they needed, everything they needed, in a sufficient supply to meet every single one of their physical needs. Now, I submit to you this morning, and I tell you this morning, that He does the same thing for every single one of His children today. He meets our physical needs. He does. He gives us what we need to eat. He gives us everything that we need from a physical standpoint. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, now, Brother Darrell, that may have been true for me early on when I first got started. I mean, I had to depend on God when I first got my first job or when I first started working. But I tell you what, now I'm established. Now I have a good job. Now I have money in the bank. Now my cupboards are full. God doesn't give me what I need every day. I pay for it myself. I pay for it with the sweat of my brow. I pay for it with my work. And I've been smart and I'm saved. And I don't need to depend on God every day because I've worked for what I have. And I would just say to you that might be thinking that right now, who do you think gave you the ability to sweat? Perspire. Yeah, we're trying to have a little culture. Okay? Who do you think gave you the ability to sweat? Who do you think gave you the ability to work? Who do you think gave you the strength to go out and get a job? Who do you think gave you the brains to do it and to save money? Look, we better see that God is the supplier of our physical needs today just as much as He was in the wilderness for His people. And it's God that takes care of us day by day and gives us what we need. I wish you could have all been here yesterday. Brother Leonard, do you mind if I share your testimony? It makes the point exactly what I was talking about, what I'm trying to say. Brother Leonard, he's from Missouri. He has to be shown everything. You know, if you're from Missouri, you just don't take anybody's word. They got to show you. And as part of his devotional yesterday, he was sharing with us right after he got saved that there were some things that he didn't from the Bible and the things that God taught that he didn't quite understand. And so before he really got into them, God had to show him some things before he really understood what it was all about. And one of those things was tithing. Okay? He said, you know, when we first got married, we had some goals. One of our goals was to get a house. He said we wanted to get a house within 3 years after we got married. And so he said he and Candy sat down and they put together a budget. And they put all the expenses that they had down to the penny. But he says because he didn't quite understand this tithing thing, and because and here's how, he said here's how we thought. He said, well, you know, we'll get established, we'll get our house, and then we'll think about this tithing thing. And so they had their budget all worked out. God wasn't first, like He should be, in all of our budgets. So he said he went to work. He was a welder back then. And he was welding one day and had this, you know, how they wear those shields so that no sparks will fly on you. And so he was welding, said he felt a tap on his shoulder. And turned off his welder, flipped up his mask, and it was his foreman. His foreman said, Leonard, you're being laid off. He said, I don't understand. They're hiring in this plant. How can I be laid off? His foreman said, I don't understand it either, but here it is on this little piece of paper. Leonard Gordon, laid off. So he said, okay. And he said, he said, I realized at that moment who it was. It was God. It was God that was telling me if I wasn't going to put Him first, then He was going to show me who was really in charge. So he said he worked till his next break. His next break, he went into the bathroom so he could be by himself. And he prayed. He said, God, when I get my job back, You're going to be first. We're going to make up a new budget. And right there at the top is going to be our tithe. Right there at the top, before we pay anything else, and he said, I don't care if it takes us longer to get a house. I don't care if it takes us longer to save up enough money to get that. You're going to be first. So the break was over. He went back to work. He was there welding again. Got a tap on the shoulder. It was his foreman. He flipped up his mask. another little piece of paper in his form and said, Leonard, I don't understand it, but you're not getting laid off. And what Brother Leonard said yesterday, he said, God called my bluff. God said, okay, Leonard, I'll give you your job back. And his testimony was, ever since then, God's come first. Helen, you mind if I share your testimony? Helen, when the girls were little, four girls, she was the only provider. Of course, you met Vern. She said, money was tight. Money was tight. And one day at work, she got paid off for a suggestion, $600. And she took the $60 from that $600 suggestion and she set it aside. Well, the first Sunday came and she thought to herself, well, you know, I really didn't work for this money. I don't know if I should put it in or not. So she held on to it. Did the same thing the second Sunday. Said she went to church the third Sunday, and the preacher got up and talked about a special need in the church. And without thinking about it, she reached in her purse and got that $60, put it in the offering plate. The very next day, she went to work and got a raise. It more than offset the $60. Now here, those are two examples. Here's the point I'm trying to make. It's God that provides our daily needs. If we get to the point where we think we're doing it, we better be careful or God will remind us in very unusual ways sometimes that He's still the source of everything that we need physically. Lois was telling us yesterday, Lois Martin, about an aunt whose house burned to the ground. Nothing left. Everything destroyed. And sometimes God does that to us so that we'll be reminded that everything we need comes from Him. And so He gives us every day, every single one of His children, what we need from a physical standpoint. But it also has a spiritual application. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, he wasn't talking about physical hunger when he made that statement. He was talking about spiritual hunger. He was saying, look, I'm the bread that came down from God. I'm not food for your stomach. I am food for your soul. I don't satisfy the hunger that you'll have in your intestines and in your stomach. I'll satisfy that hunger that God has given to every person for relationship with Him. I'll satisfy that longing that you have, that hunger that you have in the upper room. And we do it every time we have the Lord's Supper. I read those verses. Jesus took the bread. He passed the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And here's my one point this morning. Don't miss it. Just one. So you can't pick up points two and three. Just like God blesses us physically every day, and gives us every day what we need physically, that same God wants to give every one of His children spiritual blessings every day, the bread from heaven every day. When He told His disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, He was not only talking about what we need to eat to stay alive, He was talking about what we need as a Christian to enjoy the blessings of God. Now again, I don't have a lot of time. Just let me real quickly. That manna that the children of Israel got in the wilderness, it paints a wonderful picture of Christ. That manna came from above. That manna was sent from heaven. So was Jesus. He was the Prince of Heaven. He was a second in command, the Son of God in heaven. And yet He left heaven and came down to earth to take the form of a man, to take the form of a servant and die for us. I want you to notice that manna was white. It represents the righteousness of Christ. He who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He who was qualified by His living for 33 years on this earth to be the perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I want you to notice that manna came all the way down to the ground. Nobody had to climb a tree to get it. Nobody had to get a stepladder to get it. It was not only within the reach of adults that could reach up and get it. It laid on the ground. It was available to everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. They could go out every morning and get the manna that God sent. I'm glad God made salvation simple. I'm glad that just out in the fellowship hall that the little children can understand it just as much as I can. I'm glad it doesn't take a high school or a college degree to understand what Jesus did for us when he died on Calvary. He put it down on the bottom shelf. He put it down on the ground so that every single person can reach out and take it. If you're not saved this morning, I encourage you, reach out and get the bread that came from heaven. Reach out and get the one who left heaven, the bread of life, the only way to God. Reach out and take a piece of that bread. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. And that bread from heaven, that one who left heaven, came and died on Calvary's cross to pay for all of our sins. Every single one of them, he paid for all of them. And all we have to do is trust him. But let me quickly say, when you do that, when you get saved, the bread doesn't quit coming. I mean, when you get saved, the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you're saved all the way. And you get enough of Jesus when you get saved that will last you for eternity when it comes to salvation. But God doesn't quit sending the daily bread. He doesn't, the bread truck doesn't quit coming. It comes every day. When he told his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread, again, he wasn't just talking about bread to eat. He was talking about the spiritual blessings that came from heaven. And he wants us to eat that bread every single day. You don't have to eat it for salvation. Once you're saved forever. You're saved for eternity. But there's blessings that God wants us to have, and he puts them on the ground so everybody can grab a hold of them. We need to go out and get them. We need more bread every day. We need more of Jesus every day. There's a song, we don't sing it very often, but we sing it every now and then. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Some people try to... It's really strange to me. I don't understand people like this. Some Christians, they try to get all the heavenly bread for a whole year, once or twice. These are the Christians that come to church only on Easter or Christmas. Now, that's none of you, so I can preach freely without worrying about hurting anybody's feelings. They said, well, I'm a Christian. I'll go to church on Easter and Christmas. I'll get all the heavenly bread I need on those 2 days. Can you imagine what a person would look like if they only tried to eat twice a year? They wouldn't live. They'd die. They'd shrivel up. They come on Easter and they said, hey, I'm going to get a whole half a year's bread. Tell you what, there's a lot of worms growing in that bread. That bread stinks after a week or so. It's rotten, just like the bread in the wilderness. There's some people that try to get all the bread they need just once a week. They'll come to church on Sunday morning. They don't come back on Sunday night. They don't come on Wednesday night. They don't open their Bible through the week. They don't pray. And they're saying, hey, I can get everything I need from God just one time a week. That 1 hour between 11 and 12 on Sunday morning. I don't need to come to church any other time. I don't need to read my Bible any other time. I don't need to pray any other time. I don't need fellowship with other Christians any other time. And I'll just eat once a week. Now, I don't know about you. There's probably times where I need to eat less than I eat. But I don't think I'd be very happy eating once a week. I like to eat too much, Brother Wendell. Just do it one time a week. Yeah, but you can tell by looking at me. But, hey, I like to eat. I don't want to be satisfied for my physical bread just one time a week, nor do I want to be satisfied with my heavenly bread once a week. I don't want to just be satisfied with one time on Sunday or two times on Sunday or two times on Sunday and Wednesday night. I don't want to live like that. I want to eat that bread every day. Give us this day our daily bread. He comes down every day I want to go out and get it. It's laying on the ground. I don't know about you. I like fresh bread. When I was growing up, we'd alternate. Every Sunday, we'd go over to one of my grandmother's. And we went over to my Grandma Gibson's, my mom's mother, just about every week. Now, sometimes she didn't, but just about every week, she made homemade rolls. We had to drive about 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get there. And I can remember, almost like it was yesterday, even though it was a long, long time ago, getting out. She lived on the east side of Detroit. Her front door was this far from the curb. Two-story house. I can remember getting out of the car, Daniel, and being able to smell those rolls when I first got out of the car. And smelling them was almost as good as eating them. I mean, they smelled so good. And we would go in, and my brother and I would see who could eat the most. I can remember times eating 10 or 20, I mean, a whole dozen. That's why I'm in the shape I am in today, Brother Wendell. But I can remember eating a dozen of those things because they were so good. I can remember when I was a teenager, my mom started making homemade bread. And she'd get up early on Monday morning and make homemade bread. And we would get up on Monday morning and have a hot piece of homemade bread with butter and jelly on it for breakfast. And then she'd cut it and we'd have sandwiches that we take to school on that homemade bread. I like fresh bread. I don't know about you, but I don't like old bread. I mean, when I go into the cupboard and make my sandwich for lunch to take to work, and I see a little blue spot or a little green spot, I just throw the whole loaf away. Now, I know some of you might say, well, that's good for you. That's mold. That's penicillin. Yeah, but I just soon take my penicillin through a needle or a pill, not my sandwich. Thank you very much. So I just throw the whole loaf away. Now, I know some of you might pinch that piece off and eat the rest of it. No, I don't want it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to throw the whole thing away. Every day we can, if we want to, get fresh bread from heaven. It comes in the form of this book. It comes in the time we spend in prayer. It comes in nature. Minnie was telling us yesterday, Cliff, about all those roses. She said the ones you prayed over really came up good. The other ones you didn't pray over were kind of puny this year, so you know what to do. I mean, that's God. That's bread from heaven. Wanda, last week we were talking about the deer and the turkeys out in the backyard. That's bread from heaven. Every day, God gives us something that reminds us that He's God, as Brother Wendell said, that He's in charge, that He knows what's going on, that He's going to take care of it. Quit eating the moldy bread. Quit eating the stuff that you got yesterday and the stuff you got last week. Start eating stuff that God baked in heaven's oven this morning and sent to us this morning and wants us to have today. You don't have to worry that He's going on strike and there won't be any tomorrow. There'll be a fresh supply tomorrow. So go enjoy what He sends us today. We ought never to get tired of it. We sang that little song in Sunday school this morning in open assembly. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. If you're here this morning, I got to quit. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I, with the psalmist in Psalm 34, say, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've been eating at the devil's table long enough. And if you're honest, you will say that the fare from the devil's table doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fill you up. There's still a, when you get up from his table, there's still a hunger in your soul that nothing that he has to offer fills. I want to tell you this morning, sit down at God's table. He'll fill you up. He'll give you what you need. And if you're saved this morning, then don't live on old bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God's got an ample supply. Enough to save you if you're not saved, and enough to bless you if you are a Christian. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, for this blessed truth from your word. And I pray now, if there's those here that don't know Christ, that this will be the day they decide to sit down at your table and eat that bread that came from heaven. Help them to see there's no other way. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And I pray, Father, that they would come and they would take Him. And I pray for Christians. Help us not to live on yesterday's blessings. They were good, and we sure did enjoy them yesterday. But you got a fresh supply for us today. And I pray, just like the Israelites did every morning, they went out knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that there'd be something there for them. I pray that we get up and face every day in that same way, that we go out knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have something new for us. Help us to go get it. Bless the invitation. Again, those that are not saved, help them to come and receive Christ as their Savior. Those that are saved, help us to eat the bread that you have for us today. Use the invitation as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.